Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody to the tropical state of Colorado. I'm Chuck Bonneville. That's Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Hey, obviously Iran. We will get to Iran. Here in a moment, but wanted to start off with a local Colorado Republican news because you don't really hear it anyplace else, right? No, and they all either pretend it's not going on, like Heidi Ganahl, like division of Colorado Republican Party. Yeah, or the the Anschutz controlled media, they largely ignore it too. But there is a big meeting tonight. It's a second meeting. We already had an SEC meeting where 90%. Roughly half of the eligible 497 SEC members potential voters, 90% of them voted to demand that Britta Horn, the chair, resign. Yeah. But Britta said that meeting didn't count, so she's having her own meeting, which we will all now have to go attend tonight. So that's sort of the big thing. In the meantime, though, the other big news, and you would think this would sink her, but given some of the Republicans in Colorado.
You can't sink a log. How do you sink a log?
Well, if the ship's already at the bottom of the sea, you can't sink it more. And we got Ray Garcia, so we may bring him on here. Ray, let me just kind of, in the meantime, what has come out, one of the worst things about Britta, whether you like her or don't like her.
And if you like her, we want to know who you are, because we got to send a paddy wagon out to get you and have you interred.
Grassroots or your establishment, whatever it is, I think everybody is appalled at what Britta has done to the financial state of the Republican Party. When she took over less than a year ago, she had $74,000 in the bank. In that time, she has plunged the party. Not only did she go through that, the party is, as of January, and the reports came out last week, some $267,000 in debt. No capacity to pay. She put us, and it's not as if she's stopping, right? In the month of January alone, Britta Horn plunged the party $69,000 further into debt. She's going at a rate of $2,800 a day in debt. At this rate, the Colorado Republican Party will be $1 million in debt by the end of her term.
We can do it. We can make our $1 million goal.
It's like the opposite, right?
Yeah, below the line. We're achieving it.
Most of that has been the result of her vindictive, unnecessary, losing lawfare strategy that she's waged against fellow Republicans, which she's lost. The court has said they weren't gonna decide. They didn't rule on the merits of either case.
So she spent all her time trying to get attorney's
fees
for a case in which the court, because I don't know.
You don't get attorney's fees. In the meantime, though, with a month, so Klenda already, her personal attorney, Steve Klenda, had already billed the party some roughly, I think $167,000, something like that. Well, in the month of January alone, he billed the party $84,000.
And that's really just for him. He doesn't have any associates or younger clerks. It's all for him. And now that has got him to be nominated for the Lawyer Hall of Fame for Bilson Klein. So saying this, and not only did that, he took out $15,000 in cash, when other than what contributed to the Republican Party by the RNC, that's all the cash.
Right.
That's all the cash that came.
Raised, really.
He took all that, and then he larded on another $84,000 of new billings.
So the
of himself.
and he says the Colorado Republican Party, now he's now demanding that the party pay him $211,000. Okay. I mean,
send your money right away.
Send your money right away because, you know, Clinton needs it. I mean, that's almost unimaginable how that could have happened. Now, I see we've got the chairman of the Colorado Hispanic Republicans, Ray Garcia, who's the one who filed the original petition to hold the meeting. And now we're having two meetings. So I don't know, Ray, if you are listening, you want to go ahead and unmute yourself? And we can bring you in. Yeah, yay. So, Ray, this is,
one more thing.
One more thing before we get to the petition. So we already talked about Clenda billing the party $84,000 for January. He knows they're broke. And now February, and now we're in March, and he's still, I am assuming, he's communicating with you right over this whole petition issue. So he's still billing the party probably for work.
He's representing anybody. He's representing, in this newest lawsuit, he's usually a double banker. This is a triple banker. He's representing the party. He's representing his personal client, Britta, and he's representing himself, apparently, because he's...
We can get so much billing in.
So it's...
But Ray, let me ask, are we right in that Steve Clenda, go ahead and unmute yourself again. We started to ask a question, then we babbled. Steve Clenda, he's still billing the party for work, clearly, that he's doing, right? Uh-oh, did we lose you, Ray?
His phone's turned off, I think.
He's got his mute. Okay, Ray, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, we can talk about that. But Ray is the one who filed the initial petition.
And the lawsuit.
Well, trying to force Britta Horn into accepting.
The meeting, yeah.
Yeah, into accepting the meeting, which she finally agreed she has to do, right? Let me ask you a little bit, because I want to talk about this.
Ray, unmute yourself.
Ray, just unmute yourself. We can see when you do, so he might be...
Yeah, we can catch you.
Maybe, right. Yeah. He might be conducting business as a big meeting tonight, right, as we mentioned. So you're an attorney.
I'm an attorney.
This is not a capital murder case where, you know, he's billing, you know, he's working around the clock to save his client's life. Oh, there you are, Ray.
There you are.
Are you there, Ray? No, not yet. Okay. Where he's working to save his client's life around the clock, right?
Well, he's killing the client.
Oh yeah, he's just filing motions. I mean, he's already under an ethics investigation by the Colorado, by the Colorado Office of Attorney Regulation, right? As an attorney, if you're representing a client like the Colorado Republican Party, who has no money, who's bankrupt and already owes you $211,000, what's the ethical situation of continuing to bill somebody like that?
Well, the key is getting as much money before the client expires. That's the key. The key is continuing to bill and loot whatever's left in the Republican Party for himself and his, of course, his good friend, the chair. So it's the key. He's doing both. He's not just billing, but he's taking what little cash the party has and has raised for himself.
Now, as a lawyer, wouldn't your advice be, number one, you're kind of concerned saying, look, you already owe me $211,000 and I don't know how you're going to pay it. Wouldn't you say, you need to quit filing lawsuits? You need to, you know, you can't. I mean, as an attorney, I mean, seriously, what would the ethical thing be to do in a situation like this?
The ethical thing to do is, well, he should have done it a long time ago. He's so far into the quagmire. But it would have been months and months ago before he just billing all these huge amounts, often, which is about himself, was just go down the hall and hire somebody else to represent the party on a lawsuit in which your personal client, Brett, is also. So just to hire somebody that he could avoid all this money, all this thing. Today, I don't know, you know, what do? You got no chance of really getting paid.
You know, I don't. Okay. So, Ray, we'll go ahead and bring you in. I mean, to me, again, looking at Clenda billing $84,000, even if you were a Britta supporter before, and he's continuing to work for the party, so he's continuing to bill. I mean, this absolutely, it's just, I mean, something has to be done to tell her to stop doing this, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's the whole reason we have this lawsuit going.
Go ahead.
As to the lawsuit, So Clenda has been avoiding service. Every time we've tried to get him somewhere so he would be served, or he won't answer his door or nothing like that. So he's been avoiding service. And I can't talk to him as a lawyer because he has not entered an appearance on the case and is avoiding service.
But he's still apparently sending emails around, so I'm sure he's billing the party for that. I mean, it's just
Sure.
at what point? Let me ask you, $84,000 he billed
That is
us here.
unbelievable.
Yeah, legal. Now you were the person on the other side of that lawsuit. Ray, did you bill $84,000? I mean, what did it? I mean,
No, but I think I should, don't you? Hey,
absolutely.
if that's the thing,
Absolutely.
I can get 84,000 for last month. Heck yes, I'm gonna do that.
And let me ask you this, roughly how many, I mean, were you filing 80 motions a day that he was being forced to respond to? I mean, it doesn't sound like it was a massively busy, like I said, it wasn't like a capital murder case where he's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, no, it's a very simple case. There's only 3 points to it, and well, 4 points to it, and I mean, it's a really simple case, but they just avoid everything on it. So,
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's.
let me ask you about the meeting tonight. Because I know there's some people who maybe were like, hey, we were at the meeting last week, so I don't want to do this. To me, it's crucial that people be on this meeting tonight. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Yes, it's absolutely crucial that there's so that we can send a clear, concise message that it is done, because she can't. And I know there's going to be they're going to play their games of putting in all kinds of people that aren't at the meeting, but they're going to have them in there as being at the meeting so that they can rig the numbers. So we're trying everything we can. I made a request last week, the petitioner. I made a request that I wanted for at least four watchers with admin ability on tonight's meeting. That was to Alec.
Anna.
Anyway, and he said he had to check first, and then he called back and said, "Yeah, okay, you can have four watchers." And that's when I said, "Well, they have to have admin ability." "Oh yeah, sure. That's the last I heard." And I've called him and called him, and he's not responding. I send him a list of the four people I request to have admin ability for the watchers. Haven't heard anything back from them. Haven't heard from him on them. Told him to contact Cody LeBlanc, who is one of the ones I want on there, and he never contacted Cody. Several other people have tried to contact him about this, and he's not responding. So they're going to play games. As soon as I think it was, as soon as he found out that I wanted admin ability on their watch on my watchers, so that
Right.
they could go in and make sure no malfeasance is going on. That's when he clammed up and said, "Oh, I think they just took out their the what we were going to try and pull, you know,
Well,
what they
yeah,
were going to."
once again, it's like, for people who maybe can go to the meeting, I agree with you. I don't have a lot of confidence that
Oh,
they're going to
I
run
can't.
it.
I have a
Because
lot of confidence.
why didn't they just use the last meeting, right?
Exactly.
If it was going to be a straightforward, honest meeting, they could have just used the last one. There's only one reason they want to hold this one, and that's just because they want to play games with it. But I still think it sends a clear message, and even that, even more so, again, going back to the fact that in 1 month she plunged the party another $69,000 in debt. Like we said, she's going $2,800 a day. We're going into debt as a party. We can't. I don't even know how you begin to get out of that.
Yeah, that's a quagmire we ain't get out. Oh.
Well.
But that's what the suit is addressing, because everything that Clenda is billing after the 23rd is it's void. He
Right.
can't here for the Colorado GOP. We voted him out.
Right.
We voted him out months and months and months ago.
On the 23rd, September 23rd.
Yeah.
And anything after that, he's done. He can't collect anything on it.
Well, which is why Bruder will never resign. And another thing too, we should explain to people, and I want to kind of get you to weigh in on this. This has no real force, right? Bruder, it's not a recall vote. That's a whole different ball game. And she would fight that too. So Bruder can and will, I'm sure, ignore this just like she ignored the other one. But
Are you
what?
talking about the third point?
Well, yes, exactly. The demand for her resignation. What? But I think it's important that people get on there and send that message, don't you? Because
Yes.
okay. And
Well,
why?
that not only that, but that's the third point. We have two other points on the same thing we voted on last 21st.
Okay.
There's 3 points that we voted on.
Okay.
Ending the lawfare against Republicans by the Colorado GOP, Britta, stopping any payments, until she can come up with the money that she's saying that we owe.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, reining Britta in basically is what we're trying to do.
Right. Well, and what do you think? So here's another thing that happened over the weekend. Britta launched, I don't even know what we would call it. Basically, what happened is she hacked into the emails of her fellow elected officials, Russ Andrews and Richard Holthoff, and released this. It kind of reads like The Sting, the movie The Sting, AI generated report, cybersecurity report, and, reading all these emails. And the gist of it is she says, oh, there was this nefarious plot to sabotage
People
me.
don't want me as chair. Can you believe that? Can you believe the temerity of these people?
It's kind of like, this was, I mean, there was nothing done in secret, right? It's like, yeah, everybody knew this. Russ Andrews talked about it publicly. You talked about it. She goes, and these people exchanged emails.
And they even communicated with one another
I mean, what do you, I mean,
without including me.
it's not sabotage. We're openly trying to get rid of you. It's not, that's, I mean, what did you make? I was just like pathetic, I thought.
Oh yeah, how dare we talk?
Yeah.
As if she's not talking to anybody.
No.
No. See, that's the
Well,
thing. Doesn't talk to any of us, and we're not allowed to talk about her behind her back. So I guess
yes.
true.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't behind her back. It was
That's
in front of her.
just blatantly.
Yeah. And it's like, and so she's spending, I don't know how much time and money,
Not a lot of money because she doesn't have any.
yeah, getting some cybersecurity firm. But it's kind of like, and in none of it does she address the fact, she attacks Russ Andrews, but she doesn't address what Russ's problem is, and that's that she's spending all of this money. She can't talk to her. She can't, he was once one of her biggest supporters, right? And all of a
Yep,
sudden she says,
elected with her, the last elected official with her, in her famous victory.
yeah, I mean, what I don't know. I don't think that's going to sway anybody at any rate, do you?
I can't see how it would.
No.
So,
Well, she has.
everybody I've seen swayed has swayed against Britta, and it's just the hardcores that are, like I said, I've always said, never underestimate the lengths a liberal will go to revel in their ignorance. These guys are just reveling in their ignorance.
Yeah. I don't, to me, like I said, it's, yes, there's always been this grassroots establishment, right, whatever you're going to call it, divide. But this goes far beyond that. It's like, even if you, I mean, I would think, well, we've heard the congressional representatives who, for the most part, don't get much more establishment, right, have apparently reached out and asked her to resign too. I mean, they're dismayed at it. They're not weighing in publicly on it, but, it's the disaster that the party is. She can't raise any money. She's not going to be able to raise any money. And somebody else, and I know that'll become a major thing, but that's step two, I think. We just have to stop the bleeding, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah, but
So.
well, who would donate knowing it was just going to go to Kekin, or I mean Glenda anyway?
Right. So how long have you're just, I guess, your thoughts on this meeting
For
tonight?
tonight, we're
Yeah.
hoping it's going to be a really quick one. If I have my ducks in a row, we're going to make it a pretty quick meeting. But they're going to try everything they can to deny us everything on it, just like they always did. Remember last time she had a Zoom meeting, she refused to call on me because I was going to call for a roll call vote. So she refused to call on me, refused to call on me. And then when she got called out by many people saying, why aren't you calling on Ray? She finally called on me, and then miraculously my mic wouldn't unmute. So I
Amazing how these malfunctions work. All of a sudden, the treasurer is or the secretary is trying to get his email, didn't work because it's being hacked by Britta and her sleuthing team.
Isn't that miraculous? It's just amazing,
Right. And again, she doesn't ever address, well, why would two of her biggest supporters, her vice chair and her secretary, all of a sudden want to call for resignation? It's just because
Trying to figure that out.
they're trying to sabotage her. And it goes back to her dictator thing, right? Anyone who disagrees with her, anyone who questions her, she immediately just tries to destroy him, to trash him. They're sabotaging her. She can't ever stop and say, well, maybe I should tell Glenda, just, don't go after her. Just drop it. But that doesn't enter her mind, I don't think, huh? Okay. All right,
Well, she did get if you take today's announcements, we got two other Republicans that actually act as assistants to people. Tonya von Berber is one, and I forget who the other is. kind of like the last two women standing.
That raises my question. So LaRusse and Richard B. And I mean, technically, they're still the second. Even though
Richard is not.
But will Russ Andrews, as a secretary, will he have a role in this meeting, or does he even know? I mean, he knows about it. Was Bruder even communicating with him?
Yeah, I highly doubt they're going to let him have any kind of role in it. They're going to shut him out. I'm sure it'll be a technical glitch, of course.
That's what often happens.
Well, and as a secretary, shouldn't he be recording the results of the meeting, right?
They're not going to allow that.
No.
All right, well, we'll
then,
see. Right then?
The other thing is, who's going to be chairing the meeting? Because one of the items is Britta, and she shouldn't be chairing the meeting if it's a vote against her.
Yeah, I'm guessing Richard Tech. Who are you guessing?
Yeah, I have no clue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I could see. I'm just saying, I can share it.
I can do it. I'm the only one who likes me. So.
Yeah, all your other people are trying to sabotage me. So it's like, no, we're trying to oust you. Sabotage would be sincere. All right, Ray, we'll let you go. Thank you for all your work,
Ray,
on this, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. We'll see what comes up.
See what good things.
Love you guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye bye.
Ray Garcia. So yeah, we'll report on that on Wednesday. Who know? And by then, I mean, we'll be with us another 2 days. So it'll be another almost $6,000 in debt by then. So, but I want to talk about then switching gears to national, to Iran. I think everybody was kind of surprised, except particularly Iran. Oh, but here, this is kind of funny. Oh, this is funny, then we'll talk seriously.
Okay.
So somebody was tweeting. So Trump was asked, who takes over now that the supreme leader of Iran is dead? And Trump said, I don't know. I guess the position's open. I'm creating jobs in Iran now, too. Gotta love Trump. So your take on it.
My take on it. Well, I have to say, like a lot of these things, I'm ambivalent. One, Iran has, since 1979, been calling for death to America, hostages. They had sent proxy wars out there in the Houthis, in the Hezbollah, Hamas, also sent ones into Iraq that made IEDs for the troops, against the troops, and they've also been in Syria. So getting rid of the Ayatollah Iran is a good idea. I mean, it's just for world peace. but, we do seem to be led around by the nose ring by Netanyahu and Israel. I mean, we know who's really going to be the super beneficiary, which is going to be Israel. I've kind of come to the conclusion after watching Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz and everything else that, we were allowed the illusion that Israel was our ally and not our boss. But I've come to the conclusion that Israel is our boss, and we might as well just live with it. Let them do what they want to and telling us what to do. What's going to happen? Who knows? I mean, they seem to be willing to want to keep on going. So, we'll be bombing for 2 or 3 weeks. They've killed reportedly tens of thousands of their own people out in the streets. Surprised anybody else is willing to go out on the streets. But there doesn't seem to be anybody to replace them. I mean, the son of the prior Shah has indicated he'd do it, but
temporarily, I think.
Well, temporarily.
Well, because they all say that. I'd say that too.
Everybody said, I'll be taking, oh, yeah, sure. So I really don't know where it's going to go. Since I don't know where it's going to go, it's hard to be. I mean, I think we all learned. I was a supporter, like almost everybody else, of the first Iraq war. And I kind of like, boy, that was stupid of you.
Right.
And now it's hard to kind of like, yeah.
I think you're right. And I think, hopefully. Because I look at it a little differently than you. I mean, just not significantly, but sort of like you. I don't want to say ambivalent. It's kind of like the way I look at, like you said, they've been chanting death to America for like 50 years, and they mean it. I was saying, it'd be like this. It's like if a neighbor a couple of houses down was building a gun and learning how to shoot a gun, and he kept telling you, as soon as I get the gun done, I'm going to come over to your house and kill you, right? Now, would you wait until he was standing in your living room?
Timing mechanism for that, the trigger, is that good?
Yeah, or at what point would you go and try to take the gun away, right? Or do something about it? So I think, and as we've had Robert Spencer on numerous times saying, the liberals all think, oh, they're just kidding. when they chant death to America. And it's like they're not, right? The other presidents have, we've tried to sanctions, we've tried Barack Obama sent them pallets of money to not build nuclear weapons. And every time the Iranians say, okay, no, we won't, we swear, pinky swear, we're not gonna. And then they do,
And then
right?
they send all the pallets of money to Hamas
And they
and
use the money,
Hezbollah.
exactly. And so diplomacy hasn't worked, sanctions haven't worked, and it
Bombing hasn't worked.
bomb and
So I
well
have to give them some more bombing.
Well, and I think it's like the toddler when you keep telling him, don't touch that, or you're going to get, you're going to get in time out, and you never put him in time out. And Iran, I think, is, the Trump administration, it kind of falls into this, what do you believe or who do you believe? It's like, well, there's an imminent attack, or they're doing this. But clearly, Iran, it seems, has ill will toward the United States, and as it turns out, just about everybody. And I think somebody had to do something, and that something, the somebody was Trump finally, which he said he would do.
Yeah.
And the something was essentially take it out. So what I understand, I mean, Hegseth said, they seem to be running a pretty tight ship, by the way, again. Hegseth said that they want to destroy the Navy, which they've done. They had, what I was
That
reading,
went hard.
11 ships in the Gulf
That
of Hormuz. Now they're
that's it.
zero.
Now zero. We got the Navy.
Take out, they were building defense shields, so to speak, with, drones and things like that, and radar to protect the nuclear arsenal. So they're taking that out. And then to make sure that they can't, build any more nuclear weapons or build any nuclear weapons. And I think, to me, it's like, you're right, that then the big question always becomes, well, who takes over next? And that's, I think, where things could get messy and probably will. But in the meantime, I guess I'm somewhat supportive of the fact that the president finally did it. I mean, you can't have everybody in place before you do that, right? Because then everyone would say,
Well,
oh,
you can,
but then they'd say, guess what? We're attacking Iran tomorrow, and I'm going to be the head of it. Yeah, you know what I mean? And they did a good job. I mean, it didn't leak. They told the Gang of Eight. And then meanwhile, the people, the women in Iran, everybody's happy. Iranians all over are happy. So it's kind of hard, but that
but
doesn't.
some are happy, not all of them are
Well,
happy.
but yeah, right. But yeah,
It
the
basically
military.
comes down the urban middle class, to the extent they're not dependent upon the regime, are very much against it. Repressive, most
They were in favor of what
women,
Trump did.
non-traditional women, or whatever you want to call it, do not always love wearing burqas and being prohibited from doing lots of things. They're all against it. So there are a lot of people against it. Then again, the highly conservative, ultra-Orthodox, Islamic ones are for it. And that includes most of the Republican Guards. So they got a quarter million people of that, and they got these other.
Well, plus the Republican Guard, I don't know. I would question how much religion falls into it as much as they had a pretty cushy role over there, right? I mean,
Well, not so much now.
well, no, but before, I mean, I could see where, religion
Well,
is probably.
they didn't have it during the Iran-Iraq War. There
Right.
were half a million people were killed, and lot, including lots of the Revolutionary Guard. But it's a mess. They're all a mess. Everybody is lost. One time Bush was chortling with the help of the neocons. They were going to turn the Middle East into this wonderful liberal democracy. Then they find out, no, you really can't just take a truly multicultural society and turn it into a liberal democracy because
Just
whoever
put a
can
lot up
take
for tear.
control, wants to do everything for themselves and nothing for anybody else. There's got to be at least a community of feeling that, yeah, we're all this, and while maybe we disagree with things, we still,
Want to do what's best for Iran. Yeah.
no.
I was reading an interesting thing because I think a lot of people were surprised, and I get the impression, even to a certain extent, the Trump administration, by like Iran kind of seemed to go berserk, right? All of a sudden, they're shooting drones at Dubai and luxury hotels, or they're attacking all of their neighbors, right? And I initially was thinking, well, those neighbors probably would have, Saudi Arabia, might have been content to maybe be secretly
Lock it
happy,
up,
but
yeah.
yeah, but not, openly siding with the United States. And then Iran starts bombing them. And I've heard two schools of thought on why that is. One school of thought is that basically the whole command, I mean, so many people who are in leadership positions
Dead.
are dead, that you've got these sort of outposts just doing whoever is a missile is
Or
shooting it.
whatever the automatic thing, hit the automatic button.
Right.
Oh,
But then I was reading another thing because I saw like Saudi Arabia. sort of the United Arab Emirates, I guess, was saying, hey, look, we're running out of missiles to intercept some of these drones. And that I was reading one thing that said perhaps in a way this was Iran sort of testing defense,
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
it's a good idea.
mechanisms, kind of probing it and trying to get them to wear it out. But then on the other hand, okay, so now, so they're going to bomb Dubai. Do you know what I mean? They're going to
Forget
send.
Dubai. I mean, why not level Dubai? We're all tired of Dubai. It's got a couple
We
of
have
got
sports
golf
development.
courses and get some golf tournaments. But other than that, do we really
But
need
not to
Dubai?
pretend, I mean, on one end, but I don't think there's anybody left in Iran that sophisticated to run that kind of sophisticated
Well, they're just hitting a
operation.
button. They're hitting something. So, they plan the thing and then I'll hit. The reason why I think they're doing it, though, I hadn't heard that, let's get rid of all their
Yeah, let's make
guidance
them use it
things,
up. Yeah.
is that, they have an incredible number of between 2,000 and 4,000 intercontinental ballistics, and they have massive amounts of drones. But if they just wait and wait and wait, Israel and the U.S. has great intelligence. They know where a lot
Oh,
of
they'll
these
bomb
are
them.
based, and so you won't be able to send them because they'll be bombed to smithereens. So if you're going to get a shot, this is the shot you're going to have. But
That
maybe
makes
it's
sense too. It's like that to use them while you still have them. And go, yeah. So it'll be obviously interesting. And you know, I no matter what happens, there are going to be certain factions that hate Trump and criticize Trump and say you shouldn't have done it. And but I go back to the whole thing. It's like, what? So we should wait until they nuke New York, and then we'll be
Well,
then.
that wouldn't be too bad,
Then
huh?
well, yeah, you're right, and then respond. But
Well, as long as Mondami is
I mean, and at least, hey, it made Canada say nice things about us.
there. Yeah, that's the first time ever since we beat him in hockey that they say anything nice
Yeah.
about it.
And
So that's great.
it did. Who was? I guess it was just France was being whiny about it, right?
Was France the one being whiny?
Yeah, because England is helping France.
Okay.
France is being
France
Australia.
being Macron.
Yeah, they were being whiny. So, the other, and did you have anything more on that?
Nothing except where do you think it's going to go? I mean, if the Ayatollahs remain in charge of Iran, that will not be a good, even if it's not the,
I don't think that's going to happen.
well, then it's one of two things. Then liberal democracy will bloom, or it'll just divide. They have a 10% Kurdish population. They have some other. I think the Persians constitute about 69-70%, or even less than that. So they could divide up into various kingdoms and principalities and everything else. And would that be a bad idea? Well,
No, then they don't go to war again,
from
too, then.
Israel's perspective, no, we don't care if they divide up because then they can't present a real threat to us. So.
Yeah, I think that I think from what the Trump administration is saying is we've got another few weeks of, well, I think Trump has said they didn't realize they were going to be so successful in taking out such a large number of some of the leadership, right? And
Yeah,
he was
40,
saying,
50.
he said that they thought that was going to take longer. So that kind of sped things up considerably. But he said, well, and again, it's Trump. So he said there's another huge wave coming, and who knows what that really
What kind
means.
of bomb that is?
Yeah, but I suspect that the United States and Israel and I think England, whatever, you know, we're going to continue to bomb the heck out of anything that they could use to shoot at other people and essentially leave them weaponless for all practical
Well, the
purposes.
thing is that Iran is in a terrible financial shape. It's had these droughts, water, people having to move from Tehran because there's not enough water. Its economy is a mess. And of course, their economy is totally dependent upon the production of oil and gas. But with the Strait of Hormuz closed, there'll be no money coming in. So whoever takes over this government is going to be short of cash. It's going to be a tough job. It's going to be a. I don't envy Iranians
No,
for the
it's gonna.
next year.
My guess would be that there will be some. I mean, and Trump has mentioned that somebody there has reached out to him. But I think the problem is that obviously, who's that somebody? And you know, is that somebody in charge of anything? Right? I
Yeah,
have a
some
feeling.
guy actually people
Yeah,
on me. Hey.
like you said, you need to talk to the decision maker. And I imagine right now there really isn't a decision maker, right? Everybody's scrambling. Everybody's trying to protect their position to get their hands on whatever weapons there are. I think the more weapons that we can destroy, and the more their defense system, then
Well,
you kind of
I mean, it's just
eliminate them.
open skies. It's open skies. They have no defenses left.
Right.
So it's just if we know where they're at, and we do have bombs that seem to go almost to the center of the earth, they'll be destroyed. But if they're not destroyed, I don't know what good there'd be. So I just don't see it as a time of happiness in Iran. But what do you know?
No, I think Trump does seem to be less concerned in his own way. It's like if, hey, if I can, for my watch, destroy all of these weapons for at least for right now, then my work here is done. Do you know what I mean? I don't get the impression that Trump, it's not like, you know, the Bush administration where they're really concerned about who's going to take over. I think Trump is sincere when he says, I just wanted to make sure they could not shoot at us. After that, you know, hopefully the people of Iran will rise up and take over. If not, you know,
Have fun.
you know, it'll take him a while at least to rebuild.
Yeah.
And by then I won't be president anymore. And hopefully people have heard. I mean, Donya, that's kind of the impression I get of him, that he's not overwhelmingly, if he can destroy essentially their weapons, that he's not
Well,
overwhelmingly concerned
that's
with who
well, one
takes
thing
over what's
George
left.
W. Bush has done is destroy the concept of nation building.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a nation building anymore. Everybody's going to go in, every part of Syria. They're going to get rid of Assad and the whole family. You know, we have all these wonderful people, and they'll be free. No, they ended up just, you know, they've been end up overwhelming the world with refugees. Iran has 90 million people, 90 million. So where are they going to go? Pakistan? I mean, where are all these people going to, you know, go to Russia? I mean, where are these people all going to go to?
Oh, speaking of which, I did find it interesting, and you got to wonder if there were negotiations to a certain extent there that both Russia and China, because all of these people, like Mike Pence, who I really like, he's like, you start in World War III because China and Russia are going to jump in, right? Well, China and Russia very definitely, they issued strongly worded statements, but they didn't do anything else,
Yes.
right? And so there was no World War III. And you kind of wonder, well, I don't know. I think they probably liked the mayhem that was Iran, but I would imagine there was some sort of diplomacy going on there, letting them know, look, we're going to do this. You do not want World War III any more than we do. I mean, what do you think on that?
I don't know. Very hard to tell. I don't
Yeah.
think they consulted with them. I don't think.
Well, it's not like they asked their permission, but I think it's interesting, don't you, that they have, like I said, strongly worded statements, and that's a strong
Strongly
statement.
worded, but what else can they do? I mean, it's almost impossible to get anything into Iran right now. I mean, if
Yeah.
you flew some planes in, they'd be blown up. And so there's very little they can do for them on an ongoing basis, except maybe help them pick up the pieces when it's all over. But it's going to be an ugly deal. But you know, that's the world's an ugly place. So what the heck?
On, one other thing,
Moving on from that bright
from
point.
that bright point, Chuck spreading his ray of happiness.
Happiness to all.
A while ago, we told you about Ken Buckett posted this bizarre.
Buck. We love Ken Buck.
Well, a bizarre video. I mean, he like disappeared from the face of the earth, really. This bizarre video saying something great was coming and to look for it. Well, today he posted another weird video, also in a hoodie, where he talked about essentially they have, and it's not clear who they is, but
No.
they have launched a new website to get the word out about good conservative principles. It's Americans for goodgov.org, and that's Americans, the numeral for goodgov.org.
And
And
don't mess any of those up because there are lots of ones that are like that, you
yeah.
know, with FOR instead of this letter
Yeah.
for. They
Number four.
have
Yeah.
governance instead of gov. I mean, you know.
Right. But when you go there, it's basically just another aggregator. I mean,
And an article or two by Ken because he's been writing since the end of December when he came back. I did find out what he's been doing.
but
I
oh, what's
did
he been
that.
doing? Okay.
He started a consulting firm, you know, Ken
Maybe.
Buck. And he would consult and advise you on business development and
Starting up
public
websites.
affairs. So
Okay.
he'd be a lobbying firm and a consulting. I don't know who he could lobby to. I don't think anybody'd hire him at Congress. But I mean the amazing arc of Ken and Buck's kind of deal. I mean he was a successful prosecutor and elected DA for, what was it, which,
Weld County.
well, no, it wasn't Weld.
It was in Weld County.
I don't think so. But anyway, then he ran, I guess it was for Senate.
Yes, I looked at against Jane Norton in 2010.
2010. And prior to that, he'd been elected to Congress. And I remember meeting him in 2010 at a thing down in Denver.
Yeah, we donated to him.
Yeah, we even gave it. Hey, God, did we really?
Yeah,
We gave him,
not a
we
lot.
raised, well, we don't have a lot to give. So we gave to him, you know, he beat Jane Norton, and he was the Tea Party conservative guy.
Right.
We had great hopes for him. But then he did a lot of somebody was following him with a camera, and he said, talk about boots with heels or something that the Denver Post could attack him on, say you're awful. So he lost, and so he went back into Congress and was a conservative. And then all of a sudden, as these, like Marjorie Taylor Greene or something, they become disenchanted and said, I know, I'll be kind of a maverick. Yeah, that'll be it. So he started voting against Trump and attacking Trump. And then his high point is when he kept on telling us the January 6th prisoners, they got what they deserved. They just, okay, no medical supplies, no medical needed. If they were held without being charged, it didn't matter. And I remember George Brockner supported him in this fine effort.
And yeah, he became an enormous disappointment. I mean, you were asked, we were trying to think before the show, what were all the things he'd vote? And finally, I was just like, pretty much he went came to a point where he just voted against Trump every time, right? And just create worse than Jeff Hurd, even really.
Yeah, all far worse than Jeff.
So now apparently part of his consulting, it's AmericansForGoodGov.org.
Quickly,
no,
hurry,
I don't. Like I said,
get your news
it's an
there. Get your
aggregator.
news there.
I mean, good luck. You know what I mean? There's a ton of
Well,
aggregators
he
out there.
started out with his first announcement that it was going to be an anti-socialist site, because we just weren't. Too many of us love socialism, I guess, and so he's going to tell us that socialism, and this is a real revelation, socialism doesn't tend to work very well wherever it's tried. But then for this one, it's not that per se. It's not an anti-socialism site. It's a
Sort of a
what?
conservative news site, I would say.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And somebody put some work in it. They edited some videos all together. I mean, from news organizations. And I think it kind of wants to be like what a Drudge was
Good
before,
luck.
yeah, before they became it. Well, the difficulty is, and good luck to them. The difficulty is that's a lot of work and it makes no money. There's a giant donate button,
There's
so.
no money, and moreover, he has no credibility. He doesn't have it at the left. He doesn't have it at the right. He can say, "I've really managed in my not too long a career to alienate everybody from every side." So, you can trust me.
So that'll be that. Then the other thing too is just a little bit that the caucuses are coming up, and I think who knows, this could be our last caucus.
Yeah, it could be that you even want to go. It's kind of a keepsake.
It's kind of a keepsake. So
And they've cut down the number of delegates.
yeah, for some reason, exactly, Brito Horn and has cut down the number of delegates. Well, because there's too many delegates roaming around voting against her. She's
Right.
like.
So they're only 2,000. I think for our particular area, we only get one.
Where we've had two
And
before,
two before. And Ben and I went last time, and I think I'm willing to give it up to Ben. I'm not
No,
done.
you and Ben are better. Be like,
No, you're
no,
no, I want to be
you would be
king
so
this year.
great at it.
Everybody loves you.
Then what we'll do is we'll just elect Anil when he's not
And
looking.
then, yeah, when he's not looking, we'll elect Anil to anything that we can find.
Well, listen, then maybe we could wrap it up early because we do have that big meeting we have to get ready
A
for.
very
So
big meeting, a very meeting.
that'll do it for us. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, everybody else who listens on Zoom. And we will see you on Wednesday with the results of
The
the big
results will
thing.
be in.
All right.